All right, we're reconvening to open session, and I'm calling this meeting to order. We have the flag salute. Everyone, please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's take a moment for silent observance. Ms. Kudart, would you call the roll, please?
Yes. Director Sasania?
Present.
Director Tornatsky?
Here.
Director Womack?
Present.
Vice President Ohilsky?
Present.
President Millage?
Here.
Thank you.
Yes, we have the report out of closed session.
I'll defer to the board on that.
Yes.
Yeah, we did do our employee evaluation, and we took no reportable action.
Good. At this time, I will take public comment for items not on the agenda. Just as a reminder, public comment is limited to 3 minutes or otherwise at my discretion. 3 minutes, please.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I'm here feeling very rushed, and I wanted to express my disappointment in the library meeting that the county chose to put on the same night as your meeting. I said a couple weeks ago to Bruce Gibson that 19 years Los Osos CSD has used the first Thursday of the month for their meetings, and somehow a very important meeting was held tonight at the South Bay Community Center in conflict of what I believe is a very important meeting for you tonight. And I think it leaves the community torn in where they want to be. And I hope as that meeting wraps up, more people come here, because you do have an item on the agenda that I think is of great interest. For those who are unaware of the meeting that was held at the community center tonight, that is a library alternatives analysis for potentially a new library or rehabilitation of the current library. And I would encourage the community to pay attention to that. One of the alternatives that was resoundingly frowned upon by the public that was there tonight is the possibility of locating the library at the Mandela Building, which is on the corner of South Bay Boulevard and Los Osos Valley Road, adjacent to the Ralph's parking lot. Not very favorable reviews on that, but that's why this county needs to hear from the public. What would be a better site? What do you want in your library? And I hope, and it sounds like there will be future meetings that we can all participate in. The sad part about having meetings and then more meetings and then more meetings, people tend to burn out. And as they burn out, those with an agenda push forward what they want. And I'm hopeful that doesn't happen in this case because there's a long road ahead of a new library. But make your wishes known, make your opinions known, and be part of the process and participate. Thank you.
Any further public comment on items not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on. Let's start with the fire department's report.
Uh,
Good evening, Madam President and fellow board members. My name is Steve Spinharney. I'm the Coastal Battalion Chief, Coastal Division Chief. Battalion Chief Greg Alex sends his regards. He was committed to something tonight and could not make it. So first we'll go over some emergency activity. Station 15 responded to 131 calls between July 24th and August 22nd. Of those calls, 79 of those were medical aids. Three of those were traffic collisions. Nine of those incidents reported as fires. Three of those were hazardous situations and 21 public service assists. On August 13, 2018, Station 15 welcomed Frankie Alvadres as a permanent fire apparatus engineer, paramedic to the station. Frankie comes to us from San Diego area with 9 years of experience in the fire service, so we're very happy to have Frankie here and his paramedic experience here serving the community. Unfortunately, on August 13th, Office Assistant Holly Rohner resigned with just 8 months of service. That's kind of a sad note there. We really liked Holly. She was doing a great job. But her and her fiancé moved off to study and travel abroad. On August 20th, 2018, the purchase of the new command vehicle approved by the board was purchased from downtown Ford Sales in Sacramento. So the delivery of the vehicle is expected in mid to late November, where it will then undergo installation of all its emergency response equipment done by the Unit Equipment Committee technicians. We currently are at 22 reserve firefighters. Of those 22 reserve firefighters, those five of those are almost finished with their rookie training, and they will be fully trained up and ready to go to full response in October. During the month of August, South Bay Fire advertised the sale of Medic Rescue 15, our old Medic Rescue 15, on an online magazine called Fire Tech. We had one company interested in purchasing the vehicle from Hawaii, but unfortunately they backed out. But we do have some good news. We have a fire department in Kansas that are currently interested in purchasing the vehicle. During the month of August, staff continued preparation for the upcoming fire safety fair that's scheduled to take place on Saturday, October 6th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Rite Aid parking lot. Besides all the demonstrations we'll be doing with Station 15, the flash plan training and the auto extrication, we're also going to have demonstrations from Slo Ambulance, Slo County Sheriff's Office, the Estero Bay Community Emergency Response Team, the Estero Bay CERT, as we call them, and the Los Osos Focus Group. We're really looking forward to that. We want everyone to come out, meet Smokey the Bear, participate in our stamp station games for all the homemade baked treats that will be there. On August 15th, we started the planning for the Fire Prevention Week to be held from October 7th to the 13th. The campaign message this year is look, listen, learn and be aware, fire can happen anywhere. It's a powerful reminder that citizens should be mindful of their surroundings. Included in this campaign is the burn relay. And this year on Thursday, October 11th, Medic Engine 215 will visit elementary schools from the Poma de Los Osos, teaching children about fire safety. And at the end of the day, a check will be presented to the Alyssa Ann Rush Burn Foundation of an annual donation that's collected every year by Reserve Company 15. End of report.
Questions from the board? Comments?
Thank you.
Your turn.
Sheriff isn't here.
No.
Good evening, Madam President, Board of Directors, fellow public. My name is Jose Acosta. I'm your utility director for Los Osos Community Services District. Before I give my utility report tonight, I'd like to take a minute to say some things, please. And this week, I celebrated 1 year of service here at Los Osos CSD, and I'm honored to be here. I want to thank the citizens who've approached us with creative, collaborative, and positive suggestions. Those interactions help us work really well together, and it shows that they have a realistic look at trying to find solutions and resolving problems. Although I don't know all the history of Los Osos, I have read up on Los Osos prior to coming here. I've interacted with citizens and past employees, so I do know part of the history. Not all of it, but I do know most of it. My goal is the future, to move us forward progressively and do the best for this community, and I hope to be on board for many more years. To the Board of Directors, thank you for your leadership, directives, and vision. Mostly working in a collective state to ensure the citizens' voices are heard and put into action. I appreciate that, and I'm sure the citizens of Los Osos appreciate that as well. To the committees, I want to say thank you. You are the eyes and ears for the board. Your selfless dedication is emulative of volunteerism to this community. To the staff, the field staff, they're out there daily working to ensure a safe and reliable product is provided for everyone in this community. And to admin staff, continued preparation and coordination and working at the front lines for us to provide the best service we can to this community. And to Renee, so much could be said about your leadership. I want to say thank you, but all I'll say right now is thank you for your dedication and dedication under fire. Thank you. With that being said, I want to go on to my report. Oh. You're usually very quiet, so I don't even know you're here sometimes. So. But thank you, Roy.
Thank you for your comments.
So for the month of August, For the month of July, the total production was 16.3 million gallons, and this equals out to an average daily demand of 527,000 gallons. This represents a decrease in production from last year of approximately 8.78%. Using the state's formula to calculate the residential per capita, we use approximately 70.5 gallons per day per person. Again, that's a decrease from 77.3 gallons per day per person last year. Again, we're doing a good job, I believe, on conserving the water and ensuring that we save one of the most precious resources in this valley, which is the water. Production and runtime by well sites is listed below. As you can see, there was a decrease in each well site, and also the energy used for those well sites. Water billing information for the month of July, we billed for approximately 12 million gallons of consumption from the period of May 9th through July 10th, and this generated approximately $200,200 of revenue during that time. During the month of July 2018, within the utility department operations and maintenance, water distribution and treatment, they conducted their daily, weekly, monthly water quality sampling, analysis, and reporting for all well sites and throughout the distribution system, conducted their monthly meter reading, perform online water quality analyzer maintenance. That's taking the analyzers apart to ensure that we have 24-hour water quality analysis being performed at the well sites. Emergency generator checks, maintenance and operation, dead-end flushing at several locations, preserving water quality. Now, when we do those dead-end flushes, we don't waste that water. We put it into a tank, a small tank that we have, and we take it back to the yard and use it for the irrigation around the yard or put it into our beds there. Water mainline valve replacement at 1260 Napomo Avenue. And the crew is working, contacting vendors, receiving quotes, and evaluating the information for replacement equipment and repairs, which you'll see on tonight's agenda and future agendas as well. The meter changeout program, we're continually working on replacing these meters out in the distribution system. And fire hydrant maintenance at 16th Street and Ramona. The drainage, conducted operational checks of drainage facilities at 8th Street and 16th Street locations. And the current rainfall, the totals are listed here, as you can see, no rain since April. That concludes my report for the month. Do I have any questions from the board?
How long did it take you to write that? It's beautiful. Thank you. I don't need an answer.
Any other questions from the board? Thank you very much. General Manager Osborne.
Good evening. This is staff report for activity for August. Staff is preparing for the 2017-2018 audit. We have had the preliminary field work with our auditor. That was performed on August 23rd and 24th. And the auditor felt that the work went well, and they were happy with the outcome. So no real big complaints for them. So that was a plus for us. Thank you, Anne, for keeping it organized. And that flowed very well, and they were here less than they thought they were going to need to be. So each time it's a little less and a little less. The remainder of the audit will be conducted in October on the 18th and the 19th. The bookkeeper and I have been working on entering in the budget for the 2018-2019 fiscal year into the accounting system. And last year, I don't think we got that done until September, but this year, as you will notice, you have the first fiscal year report for July under item 11D, under financial reports. Conservation campaign, there was about $132 left over from the chamber conservation budget from the monies that they that people donated. So not a lot to do with, so we decided to do magnets, which most of you have seen. I try to put a couple up there for you guys. They went quickly. The public really liked them. So anyways, we were able to purchase 60 refrigerator magnets, so we're hoping that we can, in the district's conservation budget, we can set aside a couple hundred dollars to do some more magnets for the public, because they heard about it and we were out. Parks and Rec, we've been working on the rubber chips, and so that item is under 12A, the removal of the rubber chips, and so that's 12A, and we will get back to that. The board will address that later on. Prop 1 grant for 8th Street Well. So this is our first, well, for me anyways, and we've been working on this with the county for a while now. So our grant was submitted. It's a very basic version right now, and so we submitted our grant for 8th Street Well for the construction portion of it, I felt we scored pretty well. So we're waiting for all the other projects to come in. They were all supposed to be in by August 31st. So the county right now is currently working on putting them all together and ranking them. And hopefully by October 3rd, the county should have the listing of all the projects and their ranking up by the county website. So we'll see how we scored against everybody else. But we did pretty well. And once that happens, we're waiting to hear what the next steps are. We actually don't know what the next steps are. We're still waiting for the state to give us the guidelines. The guidelines are important to us because, obviously, these grants are a reimbursement kind of a grant. And so we don't want to start too soon on the construction because we don't know what time frame they're going to give us on reimbursement. And so that's kind of a problem for us because we're ready to roll here on construction. And so I'm trying to figure, as soon as I get the timing, I have talked to Rob about this, and he says that by the time we go through the bid process and all that, that it's a possibility that we wouldn't really start on construction till the beginning of January. And I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that because that's what we're all fighting for, is we're asking the state to use January 1st, 2019 as the beginning of the reimbursement for invoices. So if we get our way, then we should be fine if we are to win any money. And it is, the Prop 1 is a 50-50 grant, so they do expect us to have come up with partial of the money. There is only $3 million, so there's a possibility that we wouldn't, end up with a whole lot of money, but free money is free money, and we'll be happy and take whatever, is there for us. Tax rolls. So I know it's odd that we have those in here, but so attached is the updated tax rolls from Wallace Group. There were a few rejected parcels on the assessments list. We are no longer able to collect on common area parcels as we have in the past. And this process change has been slowly occurring over the past couple of years. They said about 5 years. This decision was made by the county due to the difficulty in collecting on these parcels. So these changes are minor and will only be changing during, and we'll be making this change in the mid-year budget process. The changes were as follows. Fire decreased by $33.46, and drainage decreased by $112. Bay Ridge and Vista, since that's kind of a different animal, there are no changes there. But we'll make those changes at the mid-year, and it wasn't a lot. It wasn't too shocking to our budget. The Los Osos Low Income Assistance Fund, the letters were mailed to the grant recipients. The recipients have been directed to start obtaining bids. One of the 10 applicants was removed from our grant list because the county called her back after denying her and accepted her application again. So we only have 9 applicants at this time that we'll be working with. Regarding staff time and expenses, the auditor felt that the best way to process the reimbursement to the district for the time and expenses associated with the Los Osos Low Income Assistance Fund was to create a revenue account that would pass through the admin fund. So I did attach, it's the last page, it ended up at the very back of the attachments to the general manager's report. I have listed my time and expenses. And these expenses were approved by the Moore Bay Estuary. And I am to say that although the Community Foundation did see the expenses, they didn't want us to actually say that they approved them because they're not allowed to approve them. So obviously my report had already gone out, and so they just wanted me to make sure to be clear that didn't want anybody to think that they actually said it was okay. They just saw the expenses. The reimbursement total was $824.98 and will be recorded in the 2017-2018 administration fund fiscal budget. When the auditor was here, he directed Adrian on how to do what we need to do so that it makes it into and is billed against the 17-18 budget. And phase 3 is going to be discussed under item 12B. And I don't know if anybody has any comments or questions.
Yeah, one comment and a couple questions.
Sure.
These came in a little over $2 a piece. The next time around, we get it cheaper because we've already had the production run. We've got it established. Good. This is a good idea.
Right
in people's face every day.
And I'll bring something. I'll bring it to utility advisory because I believe we've gone. We've had the conservation plan go through the UAC. I was even thinking of maybe bigger ones, like maybe even this size. But we'll bring that. We'll bring those expenses because everybody was excited.
It's a good
they
idea.
Just went too quickly. So yes.
Comment: the 8th Street well.
Mm-hmm.
Good work. I noticed on the county's list of projects, their integrated regional water management program, that El Moro and 16th Street stormwater project that we now send water to the bay or to the creek. We're talking about maybe getting that back into the sewer system. That's in there. I think NEP was listed as at least a collaborator, and that's a good idea too, because the more different agencies that submit applications as collaborations, I think it looks better, and it doesn't hurt to have the NEP as one of your collaborators.
Yes.
So that's good, too. The reimbursement for the low-income assistance fund, where did the $40 an hour come from? Is that what we pay Grace for your time?
Yes, for my time. So, and I've seen the attachment that's here. So, and that, I can change that, but how I understood the board was to charge for my time, and so to me, charging the full amount, then now that means that Charlie helped in some way, shape, or form, because that little extra amount is really what goes to him to pay for, obviously, my insurance and expenses and all that kind of stuff. So that's why I was thinking of my time that I spent on it. But there is still time if the board has a different opinion on that. If we want to make that change, there's no problem making that change. But that is how I came up with that, is my specific time.
But that's not what we pay for your time.
No. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Other questions for the general manager? Yes. All right. Moving on.
You're so well-trained.
Lynette Tornotsky. I am the LOCAC secretary. Neither Larry Bender nor Margaret Mayfield, our chairperson, vice chairperson, could make it tonight. Before I forget, we have a new thing, MailChimp mailer, to inform the community on what we're up to and what are important issues to the community. Please go to our website, locac.info, and you can find out how to sign up and find out all the latest. Okay, the LOCAC meeting, August 23rd. We had a few reports. A lot of reports were missing. Bruce Gibson wanted people to know that the First Street encroachment project is scheduled for September 27th at the Planning Commission, if you're interested in going. The time they'll be on the agenda has not been announced. Well, we've already kind of gone into this. The library meeting was discussed quite a bit. Bruce Gibson gave quite a lot of information, and they will be having future meetings, and so I'm not going to get into how long that took. We also talked about 73 properties not being connected to the sewer at that time. Also, he spoke about what the Board of Supervisors had told us about the secondary dwelling units, including potential for tiny homes on wheels, worker housing, and agricultural worker housing. He spoke on that topic. Also, a really big topic, one of the two really big topics that evening, was the shredded tire mulch, which will be covered here tonight, but it was covered extensively at LOCAC. And sorry, I wasn't more organized. I just found out at the last minute I'd be doing this report tonight. We had a couple of, well, three that were on the consent agenda of land use issues. And two of them were discussed. Actually, some of you people in this room were at that meeting, so you already kind of know what we discussed. There was talk of more water use by people adding a bedroom or some kind of a room addition, and how there would be creep. Nobody is taking a tally of the over-the-counter permits that are issued or the number of permits that pass through LOCAC and that are generally approved at the planning department. So it impacts our water, it was felt, so there was a discussion about that because two of the items on that agenda were about that. Also, vacation rentals came up one more time. And this time it was a three-unit building that the person had one son living in one of the units, and she wanted to have two of the units be vacation rentals, but that really isn't allowed according to Title 23, which is what they use right now to gauge what's correct for a vacation rental and what isn't. Our LOCAC Land Use Committee came up with a whole big long list of things they would like to see the county doing instead of what they're doing now in terms of allowing a vacation rental. So there was quite a discussion on that. We can say whatever we want at LOCAC how we'd like to condition one of these projects, but the reality is when they get down to the county, what the county's rules are is what the county will place on that vacation rental. So there was a bit of a discussion on that. It doesn't seem to be well understood exactly how this works. And it's up to the county at some point to make their decision on how they want to do vacation rentals. We will have community input. I'm sure there will be hearings. I'm sure it will go to the Board of Supervisors and maybe the Coastal Commission. Chairperson Bender resigned as the chair of LOCAC,
And member Harris, David Harris, decided he would be willing to take on that job. As it wasn't on the agenda, we couldn't vote on it. So at the next meeting, we will be having a new chairperson, and I'm presuming our same vice chairperson will be there. So that's pretty much it. Questions? Thanks.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Steve Vincent, president of Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce, and I have some announcements. Sunday, finally, the day is here for the Family Fun Fair Grandparents Day, which is put on by the Rotary. It's their 11th annual, and it's going to be at Sunday at the South Bay Community Center from noon until 4. They've got the Morro Bay High School Dance Fusion, Coastal Performing Arts Foundation cast of Shrek Jr., and the classic rock and roll of Route 66. They're selling a barbecue lunch to $6, kids for $3, bounce houses, face painting, bubbles, games, crafts, the San Luis Obispo Symphony Petting Zoo. There's also going to be a soccer shootout for kids under 10, and new this year, a kids dog contest. Admission's free. All proceeds go to charitable projects of Rotary and other local nonprofits. And related to that, the Chamber has, as you probably know, we're in our third annual Bear Festival. And so the Bears will be moved to the South Bay Community Center for Grandparents' Day this Sunday, where they'll be judged by a panel and the community. The categories are Chamber Business, Residential Organizational Youth under 18. So another reason to go to that event. Here we go. 40th Annual Oktoberfest, 13th Annual Car Show, be held again on 2nd Street in Baywood Park, October 28th. Admission is free. Oktoberfest is always on the last Sunday. Somebody was asking me about that. And it's always close to, therefore it's always close to Halloween, so there'll be some contests for best costume, so forth. Beer garden, foods, arts, crafts. A lot of people know it's the Chamber event, but it's also the Kiwanis Club also is involved in this. And they're going to have a pancake breakfast beginning at 8 a.m. So there are booths still available. If anyone's interested, just get a hold of us at the at the Chamber office. Any questions?
So did you say a kids dog contest?
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
But what's the answer?
I thought maybe it was hot dog. but it can't be a hot dog contest. So maybe kids bring their dog. I don't know. Dog show? Yeah. I'm not sure.
Good question, bad answer.
It's a Rotary question.
You've got until Sunday to figure it out.
By LOCAC, you'll know the answer, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Los Osos Fire Safety Focus Group Report, Mr. Wright.
Tom Wright, I'm the coordinator of the Los Osos Focus Group of the Fire Safe Council in San Luis County. August 20th, we held our second town hall meeting. We had approximately 80 members of the community come together, along with presentations from the Highway Patrol, CAL FIRE, the Sheriff, the CERT team, the Fire Safe Council. Mr. Gibson was in attendance, as well as state parks and fish and wildlife people. So we had a nice group of people. A lot of good information was transferred to the population, and we're continuing to keep that awareness in the community alive with our projects due to the new normal, as they say, in the fire season that's year-long. We currently have two local neighborhoods who are investigating becoming FireWise communities, which helps them with the potential of insurance breaks, less cost of insurance, and gaining insurance if they were to be canceled. The designation is used for smaller communities. Overall, Los Osos is too large to become a FireWise community, so we can have smaller areas in the community as FireWise communities. And we all work together. So it's all good. Monday the 17th, in this very room at 10 a.m., is the next focus group meeting. The public's invited. We'll be looking at a policy on eucalyptus trees, answering the rest of the questions that were asked at the town hall meeting. We're going to investigate bot stots. And it was already mentioned, the fire safety fair. We'll be participating in that. That's October 6th, Saturday, at the parking lot. Come into town from 11 to 3. Any questions?
So what do they do to become FireWise? Are there a few steps you could share?
There are a few steps. You need a community event. Oh, community event, October 6th, Fire Safety Fair. The community gets together, and they have to, it's not assigned duties, but the demonstrate to the FireWise people that the community or the neighborhood is invested in protecting their homes from wildfires, whether it's forming a FireWise community group. Well, there we go. They have interest. Going out and doing brush clearing if it's allowed, working with the other organizations, CAL FIRE, Fire Safe Council, to protect the houses, educate the people on when it's time to leave, it's time to go. Don't wait for the sheriff to knock on your door if you had to be evacuated. But it's the steps involved, it's just to demonstrate the community involvement and ownership of the program. There is a fee, and it's per household. So for Los Osos, for Cambria, it was about $80,000 for Cambria. I don't know for Los Osos how much it would be. But there are programs to help the neighbors come up with that money, so it's not all out of their pockets.
I imagine the new legislation coming out of Sacramento will affect all of this quite a bit. You mentioned bots, dots, and in my experience, those are highway delineation.
Roads in Los Osos were repaved, slurry sealed, new gravel put down, the fire hydrants did not move, but the bots, dots did move. They're gone. And I think the chief has a list of about 150, but the chief hasn't had the horsepower to get anywhere going, so the Fire Safe Council is going to say, hey, this is a thing for the fire department. It's a thing for the community. We need to know where the hydrants are. Fire guys, they all know where the hydrants are. But the fire guys that come in from out of town, they don't. So they see that little blue light at night.
Perfect.
That's it.
Thank you.
One more.
Yeah, this wasn't really, I just wanted to piggyback on what you said, so you're off the hook. But weed abatement authority or powers that we've been talking about, we're still moving forward with that. So I just wanted to put that on there because the weed abatement, it's a fire issue. So.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Director Tornatsky, your committee report. Okay, then. We'll move on.
Assume that means we're at utilities. We had a really wonderful meeting because we spent money buying some much-needed equipment and making repairs that have been postponed for a long time. It was really nice to be able to move some of our projects ahead. You'll see some of those on the consent agenda. The valve exercising machine, which we talked about renting a couple years ago or splitting with another water department, that never panned out. All the other things, repairs to the backhoe, pumps, the folks at 16th Street, I think, will be greatly appreciative of the bigger pumps or that aren't going to be cycling quite so often. That's a good thing. So that was the key to our month, other than our usual look at consumption versus pumping amounts and that kind of thing, or billing. And I'm going to put that back on our agenda, utilities agenda, for next month, because we talked about the disparity in the past, and let's look at ways to tighten that down. And, yeah, thank you. Any questions?
Yes, you. Finance advisory, please.
Finance Advisory Committee. Two of the items that we discussed are on the agenda, so I'll defer till those, till they come up. But the committee did recommend on item 11B, or 11C, that the board approve the warrants, and they also recommended on item 11D that the board receive and file the financial reports. So the other two I'll discuss when we get to those agenda items.
Okay, thank you. And I am making an official public appointment for the alternate chairperson for the Emergency Services Advisory Committee, and that would be Director Sasenya.
Happy to do that. Thank you.
Yes, I was pleased you said yes. All right. Do we have any director's announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance of public meetings, training programs, conferences, and or seminars? You go first.
I've got a long list.
Let's get
you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll get my small one out of the way. I went to the CAPSLO Employee Appreciation Day, and it was up in Paso Robles, and there are people who've worked for CAPSLO for 40 years now. Several employees have been there that long. And I know a couple months back I had the question of whether or not we would find it acceptable to run public service announcements for CAPSLO through Channel 20. And I went back and talked to AGP Video. Maybe it's 21. Which is our channel? 20. Okay. I've worked with AGP, and they're going to start running those on Channel 21 as well throughout the rest of the county. And we're very happy to do it.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. Take it away, Marshall.
So we want to talk about Basin Management Committee, I guess, and the outreach meeting we had last Thursday. So, or was it? It was Wednesday, pardon me. Was it Thursday? Thursday, pardon me. Okay. So we had our Basin Management Committee in the afternoon. It was pretty straightforward. We talked about update on the water conservation program and the projects that the Basin Management Committee is working on. The big item that we talked about was the outreach program that we had later that evening about the East Side Well that the Los Osos CSD is responsible for under the Basin Management Plan. So, but the Basin Management Committee meeting, I thought, was basically our normal, straightforward meeting. Rob Miller's our quote-unquote interim executive director, but he's been there since the beginning, so I think we need to drop that interim label. But he does a good job, and I think he was very, very, had a good staff report, and we had a good discussion forward. One thing that came up that, just for the public's information, we're going to try to get our agendas posted earlier because there's a lot of technical information in the staff reports that take a little more time than just reading black and white. So we're going to try to get those out a little bit earlier. But other than that, it was relatively straightforward. So that evening then, we had the Los Osos special meeting of the CSD, which was for the sole purpose of discussing the East Side Well. President Millage deferred the meeting to me since obviously I had most knowledge in that.
Seemed reasonable.
And Rob and I basically ran the meeting. It was the reason for doing this was during a meeting like this, we only have 3 minutes for a public comment, and we can't have a back and forth discussion. And we thought it would be much, much more important to have an informal meeting with the concerned members of the community, not only on the east side area, the Andre area, but anybody else that was interested in the basin management plan and the east side well. So I thought the meeting went fairly, or I thought it went really well, to tell you the truth. We got a lot of good comments. We had a lot of good back and forth comments. We had a lot of discussions informally, even after the meeting, that were helpful. Bottom line is that, you know, we're still at the very, very beginning of the process, and it's going to be a very, very long and involved process. But at this point in the process, we've identified 4 potential well sites on the east side, and we're just doing more research and analysis on those 4 sites to see which of those 4, if any of them, we want to move forward through the permitting process, which would require an environmental determination. But we're still at the initial step of the process. Rob and I are going to be meeting next week to determine what the next steps in this process are, so I'll be bringing that back to the board at our October meeting to discuss how we want to proceed as we move forward. So I think that was it.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Do we have any previously asked questions? Okay. Good. Thank you. Directors, anyone want to pull an item from the consent agenda? Okay. We'll now be taking public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. 3 minutes, please. We already have a customer.
Just checking. Julie Tacker, and I want to congratulate Jose on his 1 year at Los Osos. Thank you for your kind words. That was well presented, and I appreciated it. The general manager's report, you've heard, I'm disappointed in the approach on both the low-income assistance and the tire mulch projects. Ms. Osborne's explanation in the expenses, maybe she misunderstood. The problem with that is that you can't parse out her pay. And yes, Charlie has to pay too in this instance. Otherwise, it's a gift of public funds to the Low Income Assistance Fund. Roy says no. It's water, fire, drainage. That's who pays for administration. They're not paying for the Low Income Assistance Fund. So I disagree. I do think it is a gift of public funds, and I don't think a water customer who struggles with their own bills without the opportunity of an agenda item and the ability to say whether or not you should waive that $172 amount of money, it would be appropriate. The bill is the bill. And it's Grace Environmental who has put Ms. Osborne in the position she's in. I don't see where you're going to approve that, those expenses. That's not on the agenda. All it is in her report, and it's not part of the it's not part of the low income assistance report. So when does that expense get discussed and approved? I want to support the appointment of Chuck Cecinia to the Emergency Services Advisory Committee, and I would have to say, in light of the idea that you may be pursuing weed abatement or hazard abatement powers, which you already have, or whatever you're going to do with that, That he's an environmental scientist, I think, is a valuable asset to that approach, to having him in there. And then I wanted, as part of the Utilities Advisory or Basin Management Committee, I understand that the Goodwin Agricultural Exchange Agriculture Contract is going before the Board of Supervisors in October. That's a 5-acre contract, and in my opinion, not one drop of that treated wastewater should go to anything less than mitigating seawater intrusion.
You did that. Richard Margetson. Congratulations on the appointment, Chuck. You can put that on your resume. You probably won't meet again by the start of the new fiscal year. So, but I want to talk a little bit about the water consumption data and revenue for the water department. There's been a 4%, roughly 4% decrease in consumption, but almost a 19% increase in revenue. I have to do some more. I just saw this tonight. I'm going to have to do some more analysis, but I think we need to keep an eye on this revenue number. It seems to be outside the statistical probability that it could have gone up that much. By comparison, the previous year, for the same period, consumption went up 700,000 gallons, and revenue went up only 29,000 year over year. This year, it went up 32,000. It just seems outside the. Anyway, I'll look at it some more. Maybe the rate committee, not asking for it to be convened, but maybe I'll talk to Rob and Ron. The other thing is, it's great that we're getting these things purchased and stuff. We have money. We're going to have enough money for the well. But I've said it before, enjoy it, because at some point down the road, we have to look at our revenue stream and whether it needs to continue. And here's a perfect example how increased water rates have affected this community. For the first billing period of the year, over the last 3 years, it's gone from almost a little over 119,000 to a little over 200,000 for this same period from 3 years ago. That's a 66%, almost 67% increase in revenue coming from our ratepayers, who are now paying the full freight on the sewer project and other things that have gone up. I'll say it again, you've heard me before. At the end of this set of rate increases, I think we need to have a serious discussion about possibly reducing rates when the projects are done.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on. May I have a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda?
Could I have one question? And this, maybe we don't even need to think about it tonight because of the way that was presented. The reimbursement for the low-income assistance fund is kind of broken out in the general manager's report. It's not in phase three section. When really will we ask for that reimbursement? Do we have time to visit that question of should we be asking for full reimbursement of what we pay Grace or just a portion of it that seems to cover Renee's salary? That's just something we haven't talked about in terms of how to get that reimbursed. I don't know if we need to do it tonight. It's not really, I don't know if the general manager's report approves that invoicing or not.
Yeah, can I? Yes. I think that's something we do need to talk about, but it's not on our agenda for tonight. I think we need to bill that out at the full amount we're paying, quite frankly, but we can't have a substantive conversation today.
So. Right.
I think that's something that we need to take to the FAC at our next month's meeting and bring it back to the board.
So I move that we approve the consent agenda and receive and file the administrative and committee reports.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
I'm voting in favor, but I'm not voting on the minutes since I wasn't at the last meeting. So.
Okay. I don't think we have any opposed. Okay. Moving on to our general action items. What did I miss? Okay.
Busted.
Fine. Keep the joke to yourself. For general action items, again, public comment is limited to 3 minutes or otherwise at my discretion. The first general action item is the proposed approval of Parks and Recreation Committee project to remove this recycled tire material from the Los Osos Community Park playground area and the installation of 5-bar chips. Do we have any board discussion on this item? I'm presuming we do. Staff report first.
First? Okay.
Sure.
So I think we've had this report out there for a little while now. So I'll just cover some basic items and maybe some concerns that I've heard that are in the report. So I'll make sure to say that, you know, to go through that so that we can make sure everybody understands that we have some of these items covered already. This process, I've been going through this process with the county. And they presented me with what I needed to do to get this project done on their property. The only thing they're asking us for is for us to fill out a permit, and that's because we're going to be on their property. It's a very simple permit. It'll be something that I can do if the board approves this, and it can be immediately done. They didn't ask for anything else as far as liability goes. Risk management company, which is SDRMA, and asked about the volunteers that would be working on our behalf, even though it is on the county property. The county said all we needed to do was have some kind of a waiver. I went to SDRMA and asked for a waiver. They also agreed that all we needed was a waiver. And as people sign up to volunteer, they will be asked to fill out the waiver before they help. As far as liability goes, as far as future liability, we do have the company they call it Certified Virgin Cedar Playground Mulch, and we're calling it 5-bar chip. It's a company that currently does this work for the county, and so that's why they insisted that we use this specific company. And also, while they are, once the rubber chips have been removed and the 5-bar chips are being installed, the county is going to have a safety officer out there, the same one that they used for the other playgrounds that they've so far replaced the mulch with, and he will be monitoring the progress of filling the park back up so it's done correctly and to their satisfaction. So that was something else that somebody brought up that they thought, how is that going to work once we turn that over? Those were the main points. Marshall, did you want to discuss what happened at FAC with their suggestion, or do you want me to cover it? Okay, so I'd like Marshall to talk about what happened at FAC.
Okay, we had a vibrant discussion. Is that a good way to put it? We had a discussion. So they did bring up some points that we needed to address that Renee took back, and then we've been in discussions, both Renee and I, with Roy to address some of those concerns. But I think the primary thing that was discussed was that this is the county's park, not the CSD's park. Excuse me. And the county should be making this expenditure and not the CSD. And that as it stands right now, our area of the county is way underparked. And I don't mean cars. I mean recreational facility. I made that same joke at FAC, and nobody thought it was funny then either. I guess I got to give up on that joke.
I giggle too.
But anyway, there's a lot of other communities, especially in the coastal area, that have much more parks than we do. Cambria is a good example, and then if you go down south, Napomo is another example. So one of the things that was expressed is that since we are so much underparked from other areas, that the county really should be doing this at their own expense. And so we had that discussion, but the ultimate answer was, and I know that Renee and Vicki had talked to Supervisor Gibson about this, was there any way that they could provide the funds? And Bruce gave a small amount out of his community funds, which is basically county money anyway, but to offset some of the costs. So as the discussion proceeded at the FAC, we came up with basically, not we, but the committee came up with some recommendations. First of all, that there be a memorandum of understanding or an agreement with the county that we would ultimately be reimbursed for these funds, that we would not be fronting these, or pardon, we would be fronting these funds for the county, but not that we would be out of pocket for these funds. So, and then just, but we would be paying the funds, but we'd be reimbursed by the county.
Well, I mean, the county has already told us, and we knew that the county already told us that they would not
be reimbursed. Right, but that was, I'm just going over the discussion we had at the committee.
Oh, okay, and not the point that we were going to put in the MOU.
Okay, sorry.
Yes.
So that was one of the points that we discussed, was that, that because that A, that we have less park funds or parks areas in the community than other areas, and secondly, that this was really the county's responsibility, that they should be removing these tires, that we needed to be reimbursed from the county. So, and then we also talked about the liability issue, about how this would be addressed, and some other points came up with as to you know, impact on the drainage facilities and things like that that were being handled. But and I think there was some information that wasn't, and quite frankly, I didn't see it either in the staff report, this item about the county being supervising during the construction. I didn't pick that out of the staff report, nor did I think anybody on my committee pick that up. So I think that was good information to know, that the county was going to be in a supervisory position. So then there was a discussion about the memorandum of understanding or agreement, what items could or couldn't be done in there. So we've laid out, and we've had a back and forth discussion with Roy as far as what that agreement could contain and what the county would agree to. But I think the bottom line is still we need to figure out some way that ultimately we get reimbursed for these funds rather than it just being out of our pocket. And that was basically the bottom line. I don't know. Every member of the board was there except for Lou, so I don't know if anybody wants to add to that. So, and they did make a recommendation to do it, and pardon me, and the memorandum, or now we're calling the agreement, be forwarded to the county for their signature. And that's on the, I don't want to say the revised staff report, but that's the recommendation of the committee.
Oh, and also I just wanted to add that one of the things that, and I feel that we have to be clear on this so that we can add it, but that we would, I would feel that it would be added to the Parks Rec work plan, was that you thought that perhaps Parks and Rec could try to find a way to fundraise to repay it back. So that would need to be added to the work plan.
That's a good
point.
Does
it need to be added to the work plan? Or so that was the one thing I just wanted to
say. No, that was a good point. I forgot that. Yeah, the discussion was about alternate ways of raising the funds other than if the county is not prepared to reimburse or restore the funds to the district, that there could be a fundraising, you know, on website or whatever, okay. Alternate means or through community members. Yeah, okay. I forgot that.
No, that's okay. Direction for Parks and Rec to take that on. Okay.
I know, I was trying to come up with words.
Okay. Board discussion? Sorry. Yeah, board discussion, and then we'll have public comment.
Okay. I think I've made this clear, my thoughts about this all. And this was just another example of how out of whack this process was. If you're going to have a fundraising to accomplish something, typically you have it before you do the thing. You know, you don't spend the money and then say, hey, anybody want to pay us back? I'm confused and really upset that there were articles in the paper. There were sign-up posters on kiosks around town, in our window here, all over next door, way before this item ever made it to this board. What made someone so confident that we were going to approve that all of this happened, got the community's hopes up, backed us into a corner? Who thought that, I mean, was there a conversation with different board members and we got enough votes? That would be kind of wrong. I have questions about why the Parks and Recreation Committee chair, who also gives the CSD report at LOCAC every month, didn't have a robust discussion at LOCAC, where Bruce Gibson comes every month. If you really want to put pressure on, you don't go to Mr. Franco, the staff person, and ask what he can do. I mean, he gets his marching orders. He's got his direction. If you want to put pressure on, you put it on his decision makers. There's a mention made of 400 and some people signed up for a change.org petition to get this done. Did anybody organize them to go to the county supervisors and say, hey, we have a need in our community. We need to get this done. Did anyone talk to the Parks and Recreation Commissioner, the county's commissioner, who lives here in this town? And should be aware of the fact that we are very underfunded in terms of parks. To anyone. I mean, she's got a volunteer organization that typically likes to jump in on these things, but then I guess that would make parks look bad, because Bruce's idea at LOCAC was that, gee, some communities partner with the county. You know, you come up with this, we come up with that. In my estimation, we've met our partnering goal by having the wheelbarrows down there, by having Renee's good work with the vendors giving us a discount. That should be our contribution. The county should be at least contributing the cost of reimbursement or putting the new chips down. I mean, to throw out words like we partner and then offer $1,000, I'm just really upset about the process. I don't like being backed into a corner. I know what this means to the community. I know how much people want those chips out of there. But processes must be followed, and I'm still curious about just what made someone so confident to put that ball in motion, newspaper articles. I don't know. I just see all kinds of opportunities where we could have accomplished this by putting pressure on the county. But we're totally whiffed on that.
Well, the discussion at the committee meeting was is this chunk of the cost could basically be done by labor contributing their time to move this stuff out of there. And that had some appeal. It may not be entirely kosher, but it's something we'll actually do instead of talk about it. Sorry, I'm just a simple guy.
Ms. Osborne.
I guess I just wanted to address Chuck's first question, which was the report or the process. And I don't feel that any of us thought, not even at the committee level, that we were so confident that the board was going to approve this. We, as far as the process that we chose, as far as getting the volunteers and getting the companies to back us and to, you know, what they do for free, what they could do for free, I think that the point was the process, which was to come to the board and not ask for $25,000, and then you guys say, you know, well, we think we can get volunteers, or we think we can, you know, we wanted to come to you with, okay, this is how much the parks, you know, the county thought it was going to cost us. So we started looking into how we could bring this cost down so that we would come to the board not with promises, but reality that, you know, because the truth is we're going to need about 40 to 50 volunteers. So, and not always do we have the enthusiasm from this community to say we're going to have 50 volunteers that are going to come with shovels and do this. And so we wanted to be able to, we didn't even know ourselves if we could pull that off. So that's why we went that route. So before we came to the board to say, well, we think we can get volunteers to get this cost down, we wanted to be honest and say, we know that we can have this. To also, as far as finding a company that would donate their tractor or their skiff, that was actually a difficult task. Not everybody said yes right away. So when we finally got to Madonna Construction, they said yes. So again, we were also against the gun as far as timing goes, because it's, you know, hopefully we're about to approach the rainy season, and then we would have put it off longer. And the committee and other members of the public were like, no, we don't want to wait any longer. We don't want to put this off again. We wanted this out years ago. So the process was not in any way trying to be disrespectful to the board and put you in a position where you had to say yes. We feel you could still say no, in fact. There's many things that we still need to do and accomplish, and we've stopped doing because we don't know what the ultimate answer is going to be. But we definitely wanted to be able to come to the board and not with empty promises, but with, we know we can do this. The community wants to help. We want to get the cost down. So that's where we were coming from, and definitely not in the mode of trying to put somebody against the wall, because that was definitely not our intentions, or my intentions for that matter, or the chair's or anybody else's here.
I appreciate the desire for a detailed process. This is what we've got from John Madonna. This is what we've got from Mission. And I think that's wonderful that they're doing that. It's the point of announcing it. People volunteer. How many volunteers showed up to paint the red barn? People show up in this town. The volunteer effort is the least of our concerns, I would have thought. I just didn't like all along. There are minutes from the Parks and Rec Committee meetings that I looked at. I never attended one, but there were minutes that said, Director Osborne says this is our responsibility. That's not true. This is our desire, maybe, but it's not our responsibility.
But in the minutes it says that this is our responsibility?
It's not the minutes.
I would like to see those when you have the opportunity, because sure. I would never have said that, because it's not our responsibility. It's the county's responsibility.
Well, sometimes we think we know what we say. But anyway, maybe we should move on to public comment.
Three minutes, please. And you say your name, please.
My name is Jennifer Ferrangi, and I am on the Parks and Rec Committee. And I'm actually the one that wrote that email that was sent out to my friends and family to try to see what kind of volunteer force we could get. I had some very enthusiastic friends and family who posted it on Nextdoor. So that was my fault. I apologize for that. I'm kind of emotional because I have three little kids. I can't take to the one park in Los Osos. That's horrible. I have friends and family who can't take their kids to our one park because that stuff is so horrible for them to play around. I apologize, but this, the county, they will take it out in 2023. That's 5 more years of our kids playing in it.
Right.
I don't get $14,000. It doesn't matter. We have to take it out. I don't usually cry in public, but I'm very, very, feel so strongly about this, and I appreciate everyone's time and commitment and doing things the right way, but this, it has to come out. I have hundreds of friends and family ready to take it out with masks and spend their whole Saturday. So, thank you for your time. Thank you.
Julie Tacker, and I appreciate that you shared your emotion with us. I feel very much like that. And brought this to your board's attention a year ago, April. I started a Facebook page and a change.org petition in December of 16. There are over 500 signatures on the change.org petition. The petition goes to, it's addressed to the county parks and the Board of Supervisors. I only recently added you to it, and I don't know if you're getting notifications about it, but what I want you to know is my intent was to mobilize the community, mobilize the district to put the pressure on the county, because it is a tiny amount of money in the scheme of things. $20,000, actually, I think they can do it probably cheaper than having it private contractors come in and do it, because they have staff that works at whatever rate. But the pressure needed to come, the political pressure needed to come from the community. I went to the committee to push the board, to push the board, to push the other board. And I gave there in the Facebook page, I gave the dates and the addresses for when, where to send letters to the board of supervisors, and the timing to do that was when they were adopting their budget. What we do now, I sent you all a letter earlier this week. I think the skills of our attorney and Marshall, who is also an attorney, need to be used to negotiate reimbursement. The material needs to be removed. The public pressure can continue to see that the district is reimbursed. I think Jennifer's family and friends and all of us need to be at the Board of Supervisors wearing a black shirt or carrying a tire, whatever moves you to move them to spend the money to reimburse this community needs to happen henceforth. The effort that's gone into organizing for the 22nd of September is unfortunate. That is too fast for your board, in that you're coming on board to approve this at such a late date. This is 2 weeks away. I have a concern. I don't think you have the mechanism in your packet to approve this. There's not a budget adjustment. There's no resolution that you're going to commit these funds. It wasn't in your budget that you adopted in June, and I just don't know how you can approve this without maybe a special meeting before the 22nd.
Richard Margetson. On the memorandum of understanding, the other thing that was discussed at the finance meeting was language in there that this was a one-time, you're not doing this again. I don't think you should be doing it this time at the district cost, but this isn't happening again because the county is notorious for turning things over when their budgets in certain departments are hurting. The example I gave at Finance was the Santa Isabel Project, the meandering pathways. The weeds and the trees that are growing along the Ballards is an embarrassment to this community. And that was supposed to be taken on by the community to clear all that and make sure it was always, you know, trimmed and proper. And but the issue of the process, I agree with some of what Chuck said. And it's great that you got reductions in costs and people to volunteer and people to lend equipment and stuff. Once you got that together, that was the time to go to the Board of Supervisors and give public comment. And I know that that works for a fact, because when we added, we were looking at putting the addition on the community center, we didn't go to the Board of Supervisors until I had all of the volunteer commitments for the engineering, for the architecture, for the soils test, for everything that was needed before we poured the footings. All of that was donated. Almost $40,000 of what was considered professional services before we went to the Board of Supervisors. And then they asked us to draw up the Memorandum of Understanding to proceed. That impressed them. This probably would have impressed them with 15, 20 people. You know, letters are great, but letters aren't in public. When you're on that camera, it forces the supervisor to sit up and take notice and pay attention. And numerous times, everybody's been there. Somebody who comes out of the woodwork that Bruce or another supervisor has never seen, right after they're done, oh, will you contact my legislative assistant or call my office or whatever? It might have moved the needle a little bit towards getting us to a point where this gets reimbursed. And $13,000, $14,000 on a $500-some million budget for the county, they can't find that for this community. Our supervisor can't find that for this community. That's pathetic. That's pathetic.
Andrea Luker, 30-year resident of Los Osos, member of your Parks and Rec Committee. I was super comfortable on my couch, and now I'm happy to be here. You appointed an advisory committee to provide advice to you, the elected officials, on what's important to this community. A pool was important. There's been a lot of things that have been important. This is important. And it's a project that, I mean, I kind of had to laugh a little bit when I was sitting at home listening to it on the computer. This is a project that's been on the books for a long time. We can go through another generation of children not able to use this park. Mine's 26 now. She didn't use it. So let's have a win for Los Osos. Let's have a win. Let's spend the money. Let's look at reimbursement, but let's move forward. This can be a win for the community. You know we need it. We need wins here. So thank you for listening, and I'm looking forward to your decision tonight.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, I will close that. Further board discussion.
Yes, there's no Santa Claus here. I would love to take care of every need in this community, but in other jurisdictions' responsibilities, their areas, we can't just willy-nilly. I don't have a problem with doing this. I'm going to vote to approve this. I wish that I'd have had you with me in a carpool down to the county supervisor's office. We'd have had that money. You had me reaching for my own personal wallet. I'm sure four of the five supervisors would have. Doubtful about one. Why didn't we go to the Parks and Rec Committee, the County Parks and Rec Committee? The chair lives here in this town. That's my problem. It's the process. It's not right now. We've closed the public comment. We're going to take a vote and get this settled. And Renee, you mentioned something the other night at Finance. You said that when you pretty much said the same thing to Mr. Gibson when we talked, but you were nicer to him. The time to be nice, really nice, is when we're asking for favors. When we're asking someone to uphold their own responsibilities, we can be a little bit sterner and just say, really, you should be doing this. That's kind of my take on it. And that's all.
So I'm going to...
Director Tarnowski first.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think this is a simple thing. We've got a bunch of people who want to enable kids to go out there, not 5 years from now, or not next year, but pretty damn soon, and be able to play in that part. And if you guys want to sort of stick to the righteous way as you see it, we'll see how the vote comes. And we'll see how the vote comes in a couple months.
My turn?
Yes, your turn.
Okay. So I'm going to speak up for the moms I know in Baywood, and they all want those chips gone, like, years ago. And 5 years is an eternity for kids grow so much in 5 years. So we have money in the Parks and Rec Fund that we can use, and I would like to see us use it. We should have all gone to the Board of Supervisors, but we didn't. And we can ask to be reimbursed. I think I'm doubtful. Or maybe they'll reimburse us when they would have replaced it in 5 years. So it doesn't hurt to ask. But I think we had a Parks and Rec Committee that's been working on it all year. Take the bull by the horns and try to get her done, and we should support that.
Before I give my comments, I'd like to see if Mr. Hanley has any.
Oh, okay.
Then you next. Him, you, me.
Assuming that you have to make a decision to do this to keep a timeline of September 22nd and 23rd, and the county has informed us that that's the timeline they want because everyone's hoping and praying for rain. I would not recommend directing us to get an agreement from the county before we do anything, because I'm going to, Mr. Spinharney's not here anymore, I'm going to steal a reference from Captain Spinharney, which is that if Los Osos Community Services District is one of those little Zodiac boats, the county's a carrier, they just can't change direction fast. They can't respond fast. They can't do things fast. An individual supervisor can dip into the community fund that has been placed at his disposal, but getting the county to change fast and agree to anything, it would be impossible in that time frame. My personal recommendation would be, if you approve the project for this district to go ahead with the removal, is direct us to simply write a letter to the county confirming that we're going ahead, reserving our right to ask, demand, cajole, or whatever for reimbursement, that this is a one-time project. We aren't committing to any other joint efforts in the park, save the term sheet we've already entered into in regards to the dog park, and confirming that the project remains the county's project and the county's park for all maintenance responsibilities, and reciting some of the operative facts which will help us deal with any potential future issues. The operative facts I'm referring to are that the county has selected the supplier, the county has selected the product, and except for the volunteer effort to remove the current chips, the replacement chips will be placed under direction of the county-selected safety supervisor. There's always a potential that someone can sue somebody over something, but those operative facts being truthful will help preserve our record for us in the sad event that something like that does happen. And I don't have any concerns over the legalities of the situations and the way liabilities play out that I think should sway the board against the project.
Yeah. So I think that there's a couple of things. I mean, I'm supportive of the motion, but there's a couple of things that I want to, I don't want to say add as conditions, but just make sure happen. So, and I appreciate the fact that we can't negotiate an agreement in the next 2 weeks. So maybe writing the letter, you know, requesting reimbursement, and that this is a one-time effort, and putting crystal clear in legalese that this is the county's property and we're assuming no liability. I think those three things need to be included in that letter. And then the second part of what I would like to suggest is, and again, the timing is unfortunate, but it is what it is, that we add to the work program for the Parks and Rec Committee to coordinate, I don't know, cajoling, is that the word you used? But coordinate, to have the Parks and Rec Committee coordinate appearance at the Board of Supervisors to request reimbursement for this. So it would be done in public comment, but like you said, if there was 10 people there carrying tires or whatever, that would be helpful. So I'd like to see that added to the work program for the Parks and Rec Committee. And then secondly, the fundraising issue that was raised at my committee. So those are the two things I'd like to add to the motion, is the letter and adding to the Parks and Rec work program or work plan, pardon me. Before I make a motion.
I actually would like to say something here.
That's what I said.
Thank you so much. I think we just do this, and we work it through the process as best we can and get as much support from the community, which we already have a great deal of, and fundraise the heck out of it and
show up.
Just do it. I hate to use cliches, but that's a good one in this case.
Okay,
so anybody else have anything to say?
I'd like to make a motion.
Oh, that would be great.
So I'll move the motion in the staff recommendation, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I move that the board approve the use of Parks and Recreation Reserve funds for the following items: to upgrade the Los Osos County Park Playground, and then there's five bullet points that I'll just incorporate. And then I'd like to add to that motion. Well, it's my motion, obviously. I can add whatever I want.
We can take it away.
To direct staff to write the letter to the county with the bullet points that we discussed about the reimbursement, one-time effort, and the project remains the county's responsibility in order to minimize our liability. And then also to add to the Parks and Rec work plan the idea to coordinate going to the Board of Supervisors to requesting reimbursement and doing fundraisers or whatever other mechanism that they can identify as potential to reimburse the district for these expenditures. So that's my motion. Hope it's clear.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor? We want to do a hand vote on this. We want to do... Ayes, tell me what you want.
Aye.
Did I?
I said aye.
All right.
Aye.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye. Yes.
You got your vote. We'll see if it gets screwed up.
You need to respond, please.
We're voting now.
We're voting now.
We all said aye. It's 4-0 at this point.
Okay.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. And Roy, I'll be happy to look over the letter with you. Yeah, I'll be happy to work on it with you. So. Okay.
Good. Moving on. We have recommendations regarding the Phase 3 of the Los Osos Low Income Assistance Fund.
So let me, I've got to pull this up on my computer here in just a sec. So we had a discussion at the Financial Advisory Committee regarding this, and I think that the staff report is pretty clear, but what my committee recommended to the board was an alternate motion, which was that we go ahead and extend the existing application period until, I thought it was October 31st?
November
1st. Yeah, November, well, we're off a day, either way. To November 1st to allow any additional people that may be interested in applying. And I know the various members of my committee that were working on it, including Richard, who's just stepped out of the room, who's not on my committee, and Lisa, are still reaching out to people to see if there's additional people out there. And then during that period from now till October 31st, that this would go back to my committee to come back with some alternative ways to expend the money if there was money left over when everybody didn't apply, which we think is the case at this point. And just for a heads up, one of the things that we talked about that was raised, that there may be people in low income status that had to borrow money to pay for this improvement, that they might have top priority or be one of the alternatives that we would discuss between now and when the program went out of existence and we moved to stage three. So the idea was, let's just keep phase two going until October 31st and then refer this back to the FAC to discuss this. Again, one of the things that they talked about was people had to take out a loan to connect. And then I think, as Julie mentioned, the Board of Supervisors adopted the enforcement action a couple of weeks ago. This will be going to the Code Enforcement Office the people who aren't connected will be going to the Code Enforcement Office late November. They'll be referred to them, so they basically have between now and November until they'll be found in violation and subject to fines, and then they'll be contacted by registered letter or process servers or whatever process during the beginning of December. So anyways, that's what my committee discussed, and they're recommending to extend to October 31st and send this back to them so we'd have another meeting to discuss this and bring it back to the board. I don't think I missed anything, did I?
That's exactly how I remember it.
Okay.
Good.
One question. Till the end of October. Now, the county, the end of November is when they bring their hammer down.
Yep.
Do we want to just hang on until then? I mean, that hammer, is that going to be a push that make some of these resistance decide, all right, I got to get on board?
Yeah, and we went back and forth on the date, whether it be 60 days or a set date or whatever. I think, Renee, you may have come up with the fixed date, but I think if we want to go to the end of November or even the end of the year, that's something we can do. That's up to us.
Well, it just seems like that final push from the county might probably a few of the scofflaws loose, and maybe they'll decide to take advantage of this.
So then do we want to do... Okay, so I know that it goes to the county, or to the county code enforcement, end of November-ish. I know that at that time, the county code enforcement is sending out letters in mid-December, certified. There'll be no excuse on we didn't get this. So then do we extend this, like you said, do we extend this then to the end of November so that, or are you saying that
We might want to just go to the. We just might want to go to the end of the year. And just to clarify what you just said, and I know this because it's part of what I do for a living, the code enforcement, they will send out the registered letter, but then, like I said, they'll try to do personal service.
Oh,
so
oh,
they'll
yeah.
take every step they can to make sure these people are aware of that.
Yeah.
But we may want to just extend it to the end of the year.
The end of the year.
And we can still work on criteria for phase
during
three
the interim,
at the time.
Yeah.
Gives us a little more time for that.
Okay, and then so a little bit more clarity. Okay, so we'll put the application back out there. We'll do it to December 31st as far as accepting applications. And in the meantime, should as long as they qualify, do you want me to process them as they come in, just start processing? Don't wait. And then just keep on going until December 31st, and then we're done. Okay. That works. Lisa said she would be glad to help. So.
Yeah, Mr. Hanley.
I was just going to add that, and I'm just reading from the letter from the Public Works Department from the county. They do put at the end that please let us know what your board decides to do so we can withhold enforcement on eligible LOCSD financial assistance households. So I think your contemplated action of picking a longer wait time is going to be received kindly by the Public Works Department in terms of trying to get these people to comply voluntarily.
So that'll be part of the process as the applications come in and they qualify. You know, I obviously will be calling Rosalind up immediately and letting her know who, and I'll also let her know our process that of why what we're doing and why we're doing it. So that way, if they run across somebody when those letters go out in December, and they run across somebody that for whatever reason didn't apply, you know, that she knows that they can contact us. And of course, they have their own program as well, right? But, you know, there are some that just don't fit every single guideline that they have because they have more guidelines than just the HUD requirements. There are more. So that's how we end up with them. But, okay, I understand
Well,
that.
Wait, now, see, Roy's bringing up a complicating factor for me. If we... No. If we contact Public Works at the county and say... we're extending this, then they're not going to start the enforcement, and that's contrary to what
No, they're starting it.
No, that's not what it says. So we can withhold enforcement.
Well, what I believe she means is me letting her know which ones we've picked so they don't try to do enforcement against those people is how I understood her. Not that if we're going to extend this, then they're going to extend it. They're done. They're not waiting anymore for people.
What we're just basically laying out is they get this notice of violation, then they have an alternate way to fund it. That's what I want to make sure is clear to the county.
Okay. I'll make sure that that's clear.
Thank you for bringing that to – because you and I are reading it the same way, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further board discussion on this? Okay. Public comment.
Julie Tacker again, and I like the idea of extending the deadline and giving people an avenue to avoid code enforcement. At finance the other night, Renee explained that changing the criteria off of the HUD criteria was frowned upon by the NEP. And the NEP is not your master. This is not their money anymore. This is your money to make those decisions. And as you go forward with phase three, I again will ask that you consider appointing an ad hoc committee of the board to explore the options, one of them perhaps being what Marshall was alluding to with reimbursement of those who may have qualified but for whatever reason went ahead and borrowed funds to put their laterals in and decommission their septics. But I don't want it to be predicated on a loan, a formal loan, whether they borrowed from their own savings or out from under the mattresses, that's none of our, or a credit card or a bank. They shouldn't have to you know, prove that they borrowed. Thank you, Marshall, or whatever. They shouldn't have to prove that they borrowed. If they qualified and they prioritized their spending, then they're qualified still today, if that's the avenue you want to go. I still have concern over those complicated systems, and that may be why people haven't done it, is they may be much more expensive, and you need to probably establish a cap. And when I talked to Tony Navarro at the county, the people who just missed the criteria was only a couple hundred bucks. Or if it wasn't the money, it was generally maybe archaeology. So that it was the complexity of the system that was being implemented. So, again, maybe they can't afford it because it's so much money, and maybe we don't afford to pay for the whole thing. We have some middle ground. But that, again, is where I would like you to have an ad hoc committee of one or two of you to flesh this out and come up with some real guidelines for your program.
Richard Margetson. My only concern with extending the date is let's make sure with the county that everybody's on the same page and that fines don't start accumulating on some of these people that may have applied, and that it's made very clear that they're going to get this. Yeah. Remember the cease and desist orders on the wastewater project. I don't want anything like that to happen to these people. I know not all of them are in the same boat, but let's just be real clear that if they're pursuing something, that the clock doesn't start running on fines and those get added in some manner or whatever. Let's just be clear.
Any further board discussion?
So can I make my motion then that we extend this? Is this on? Because I can't hear. Okay, so we extend the period for application under phase two of the program, and I guess you guys want to go at the end of the year. Is that what you want to do? Till December 31st. And that we renew our outreach program to the public, and that we communicate clearly to the county that we still want them to move forward, but that anybody's in the review and approval process won't start being fined. Is that what everybody wants to do?
I think that's all the points, yes.
Yeah, that sounds good. I second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Moving on to item C, consideration of potential sale of district property.
So I was going to have Rob Miller, Spencer Harris, Roy, and myself met on this subject, and so I'd actually like Roy to take over this. You do have our report in front of you, but he might have some comments that you might need.
Just not much to add to the staff report. Generally, sale of district assets does involve a two-step process. One is the decision whether or not you want to sell. That's an open session like we're doing now. If you get into negotiations, then those can go in closed sessions. But the actual initial decision is an open session agenda item because there's no confidential information to be giving to potential buyers in this case. Basically, staff report is very clear in that when we met to discuss the project, we tried to identify the value to the district of this property as it exists now, and those have been clearly described. It is a monitoring well. Having a monitoring well is useful not only for the district as such, but for basin management issues. And you certainly wouldn't want to sell the property without being able to replace the monitoring well. I personally don't know if the market would bear a sales price that would both cover the actual cost to the district of reproducing it, but there was the potential, and so the issue is now in front of the board if you want to consider it. You always have to look at the long-term value to the district of maintaining an asset. And here, not only is it a piece of property that over time, except when we have either a Great Recession or the Great Depression, isn't going to be losing much value for us, and currently also has some use to us. But it's up to the board to make that decision, and if the board directs us to try and get the property sold, we'll do that.
Okay. I have a question because I'm very, very familiar with this property, but I don't think it's a buildable piece of property in any way, shape, or form, so I shouldn't have said that, but I'm not sure if one of the neighboring property owners was interested in buying this. Could we list it in the mode that we would still have the right to keep the monitoring well on it and have access to it?
Yes.
Because that's the tact I would like
and,
to
and
see.
And we don't have, in the actual meaning of the word list, we wouldn't have to list it. Right. We could, we wouldn't have to select a broker with access to the multiple listing service. We could market it ourselves. Normally, I wouldn't recommend that if a property had actual real market value, right, because the way to then get market value is with people who know how to do that. But if it's true that this particular piece of property is not buildable, and if it doesn't, in essence, have an established market value where it's the fictional reasonable buyer can show up, then we can always announce that it's available for purchase with
the well and
with the restrictions.
Access, right. I think
retain the access and then those discussions, if someone is interested, we'll have in closed session and you can evaluate it.
I'd like to go down that approach personally, to tell you the truth.
I just wanted to add that that was one of the discussions that we had, was what was the harm in keeping the monitoring well in place while we, you know, got, you know, sold the property, and that we would retain the rights to be able to continue to monitor and so on and so forth. And both Spencer and Rob were not happy with that.
Right.
They just felt that it could cause future problems, and it would cause, you know, it would possibly cause problems for the person trying to buy it and us trying to get to it. They just listed a couple of concerns. So Spencer wanted to, his request was, you know, we're going to sell it, then let's just break it down, take it all out, and, you know, get rid of it. So I just wanted to say that was their take on it, was if we're going to sell it proper, then let's just sell it.
Can we put a park on it?
Park,
we could, yes, still get the monitoring well.
Yes, a little pocket park, absolutely.
I don't know where this property is.
So. It's a teeny little lot.
Yeah, it's just teeny.
Between San Isabel and the bay.
Hey, all they need is grass.
Oh, pardon me, 12th Street.
Yeah, 12th Street. We could put a bench on it. That's about it.
I misspoke, but it is a real, real narrow.
Really small.
Yeah, it's really small.
What would someone buy that for?
Yeah. Whatever. I'm just saying that if we were going to sell it, that would have been my thought. But if we want to keep it, that's fine, too. I don't want to get into Parks and Rec activities, though. That's the county's responsibility.
Okay. And I don't know that they wanted to keep it as much as the reports stated, as we went back and forth with what it's worth to us, was, you know, we would have to, if we're going to sell it, they wanted to shut the well down. They don't want to keep it there. And if we're going to do that, then we needed to replace that monitoring well. So then when we started looking at the expenses of replacing the monitoring well, they're like, so are we going to be able to, after staff time and everybody's input and what the bill is going to cost, we're going to have to pass that along, and then, you know, will they actually buy it for that amount? I mean,
well,
we don't know.
Well, that would never happen because it's not a developable piece of property.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so.
So you're also, everyone is learning one of the big differences between engineers and lawyers, because lawyers live in gray. So it's very easy for us to live with, yeah, we can put an easement on it and maintain the access and the ability to make, to service the monitoring well. So from the gray perspective, it's easy.
I'll withdraw my comments then. It seems that's kind of cut and dried at this point.
Is there any further board discussion at this point? Public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on. I will entertain a motion.
I move that the board not list the 1936 12th Street property, APN 038-641-004, for sale at this time.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
That's a good night. Okay, we didn't have any pulled consent items. I think we're there.
Okay.
Closing comments.
My closing comment. For those of you who live in my neighborhood, downtown Baywood, tomorrow's big trash day. The last day that you have the opportunity to put out your big trash is tomorrow. So those of you that get your trash collected tomorrow, as in my neighborhood, get your big trash out. But make sure it's in a bag and not just scattered all over. Okay, thank you.
I have one, too. So the South Bay Women's Network has a scholarship for women reentry students. If you know any women that have returned to Cuesta College after a break in their education, they can apply, or you can recommend them. Our website is www.sbwn.org. That's for South Bay Women's Network. You can also find it on Facebook if you look for South Bay Women's Network. Our deadline is Friday the 14th, so not tomorrow, but the week after. So please recommend anyone you know.
School's back in. Lots of kids on bicycles. Let's drive 25 and be careful. Also, it was brought up tonight that the county contract with Goodwin, that's one of those dry land farmer contracts, is going before the board in October. I certainly will be down there before that, speaking as a private citizen, asking them to respond to the letter that this board sent to them several months ago. I think maybe we should agendize for our next October meeting whether we want to send someone officially from the CSD to read that letter at that hearing.
Do we need to put that on as an agenda item, or can we just
it'd
do that?
It'd be better to put it on the agenda item if you're going to take any action at all. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't mind going on my own, but I could put on an emissary hat, too.
I thought, Lou, you were going to say something, but could you guys reiterate the dates for this park, or pardon me, the tire removals for the public that might be interested in coming out?
Yes. If you can go on our website or our Facebook page, if you're interested in volunteering, you'll need to contact Jennifer Ferrangi. If you have problems finding that, please give the district a call or give me a call at 805-528-9379, and I'll make sure to give you her contact information. We are looking for help on September 22nd and 23rd. Those are the dates. Those are the big dates. We need you to make sure to bring your shovel and anything else that you have. On the 24th and 25th, which is the Monday, Tuesday, we do need a small crew on those 2 days because that's the day that the skip will be there, and it will be helpful if somebody's there to help make the bigger pile smaller once he gets going. So that's it. That's all we need, because since we are paying for the installation, we won't need anybody there for that. Then the park should be open on Saturday, the 29th. So awesome. Maybe we can host a little ribbon cutting, and I'll try to get that together quickly and get that out to everybody.
One last question. We're closing off the front half of the parking lot. That's all it says.
Yes.
Has there been any communication with the community center about how much of the parking lot gets closed off?
Not yet, but that's on my list for tomorrow.
Because there's a food distribution giveaway.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that, and we'll still have one entryway.
Yeah, the back end will be open still. We're only planning on, and that's because of the roll-offs.
Sure.
They need to
stop
those off. That's on the list tomorrow to start calling.
We don't want to take any more spaces than we have to.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
thank
exactly.
you.
Yes.
Anything else? Seeing none, I'm adjourning this meeting.
Right.